أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليكم to our dear brothers and sisters, those of us who are following along, inshallah. This is, inshallah, our first session from the sessions of Mizan Live that we have started to get going, inshallah, again. If you remember, we had started in the month of Ramadan doing some of the rulings of fasting according to Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei. Alhamdulillah, the feedback was great feedback, and so because of that, the team actually decided to get the Mizan Live sessions going again. And inshallah, this time around, the setting is going to be slightly different. Inshallah, we'll be doing it twice a week. And one of the sessions, inshallah, I'll be taking your time, and the topic will be ahkam and rulings, you know, the day-to-day rulings that we have. And then the other topic will actually be aqa'idi topics, more theological topics that inshallah Sheikh Amin will be covering. So inshallah, Tuesdays I will be taking your time, just about this time, 6 o'clock I'm in Dallas, so 6 o'clock Central Time. And inshallah, he will be doing the same on Wednesdays moving forward. We will be taking a quick break during winter break in that time, but then we'll start again afterwards with the sessions after the break, inshallah. So I hope most of you guys are probably already familiar with the format in which inshallah we'll be discussing the topics. Let me just pull up the page so that I can see the comments as they are going. Okay. And all right. Assalamu alaikum to everyone who has said salam. Brother Reza, Sister Fatima, Brother Shuja. Nice to have you with us. Let me go through some introductory points before we start out our discussion, because we will be, this is the first session from the sessions that we're going to have. So I just want to explain a little bit of how we're going to be doing things. So we're going to be covering the topic of salat, and we're going to start from the conditions of prayer. I do want to emphasize and stress the fact that we will not be covering, or our emphasis will not be on the rulings of salat that we are already familiar with for the most part. So when we talk about namaz and salat, of course, it comes to our mind that, you know, namaz and salat are things that we do, you know, five times a day. And so because of that, many of us already are familiar with salat, which is true. The part that I think is a little is left out a lot of times is a lot of the unknown rulings. When I say unknown, it's not like it's hidden in some hidden book or anything like that. It's in our risalas, it's in our books. It's just that we have heard less about these rulings compared to the other ones. And this, I've had experience with this many times, where you might have a workshop on this topic. You might be going through some of the rulings, and people might not know about that ruling a lot of times. Sometimes it will make their salat batil even. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it'll make their life easier, in fact. So there's two types. It could have any of those two types of effects on the prayer. So we want to emphasize a little bit more on the less known rulings when it comes to salat. Yes, the ones that are a little bit more clear to us. We'll be going through them, but we'll be going through them very quickly to move on to some of the ones that, like I said, we know less about. As we are doing in the month of Ramadan, feel free to leave your comments and your questions as we go along. So the questions that come in, if they have to do with the topic that we're discussing, then I will try to answer them as we go along, like in the middle of the session. If they have to do with other topics, maybe it's a question on namaz, but not on the particular part that we're discussing. Like today, we're going to be discussing the conditions of prayer and the questions that have to do with the timing of prayer. So if you have a question on a different part of namaz, feel free to put that in there. And if it has to do with our topic in particular, inshallah, I'll try to answer it as we go along. If not, feel free to send us a message, send Mizan Institute a message, with your question. Please, please, please do mention who you follow. I'm saying this because there are many, with many of the details that we'll be covering, depending on who you follow, the ruling is going to be slightly and sometimes quite a bit different from one another. Moving on, we will be adding indexes to these sessions after each session, so that hopefully if you want to share it with someone else who wants to learn about this topic, or you yourself may have not seen it today, you want to see it later, we're going to have indexes so that you know exactly what minutes, what topic, or what question, I should say, was discussed. That will make it easier to refer back to it later on. And yes, I put this point down as well, that you know, if you're not driving and if you're at home or you're just chilling or something like that, grab a piece of paper and pen, or maybe with your phone you could take notes. The reason why I say this is because ahkam is like this. One part of it is just understanding it, and that's probably like 30-40% of the difficulty of the matter. And then the other part is remembering it when you're actually dealing with that situation, right? And that's another headache, really. So as we're going, if you could take notes and just summarize notes, very simple notes just for yourself, I think that will make life a lot easier. I know that it made life a lot easier for myself. Okay, so we're going to start, inshallah, the conditions of prayer. Like I said, we're going to talk about timings for today. I'm not sure we'll be able to cover all of it in one session. But we will start. Before we start, I do want to introduce, like we did in the month of Ramadan, some of our sources. I say some of our sources because the books that we have, since we'll be covering Ayatollah Sistani's rulings and Ayatollah Khamenei's rulings, of course there's a multitude of books out there, a multitude of sources out there. And no source really is completely comprehensive, partially because these books were written for different audiences at times, okay? So, but I will introduce a couple, since it is our custom now to mention the books that we'll be going through. This is Amin Hajj Salihin of Ayatollah Sistani. Of course, that will be a point of emphasis for us. We also have, for Ayatollah Sistani, a book that if anyone can understand Farsi, I would definitely encourage this book. I know that it's showing it backwards for you guys, but so I'll read off of it. Tawzihul Masail Jamir. This is also on his website, but it's interesting for people that are interesting to know that this book actually has a lot more details, even compared to Minhaj al-Salihin sometimes. And it is something that was published after Minhaj al-Salihin, even though Minhaj al-Salihin is actually being updated as we go. But this actually does have a lot more details, and I think it came out 5 or 6 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So that's for Ayatollah Sistani. For Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, his website is one source. The other source is Tahrir al-Wasila of Imam Khomeini, which has a lot of the more, I could say the more basic rulings, and not basic in the sense that they're simple, but basic in the sense that rulings that make up the backbone of the discussion you will find in here. And another source that I do want to introduce is this book. Again, this is for, it's kind of ironic, or not ironic, but odd, but that the sources are in Farsi mainly. But this is Risale-i Amuzishi of Ayatollah Khamenei. And this is in two volumes. The blue one is the first volume, which has to do with Salat and fasting and the Ibadiyat, as we say. And the second volume is brown and has to do with a different set of rulings. But yeah, these Farsi books are actually, sometimes they discuss some details that are not mentioned in Minhaj al-Salihin or Tahrir al-Wasila of Imam Khomeini. Okay, so these are some of the sources that we'll be using moving forward. Okay, so let me dive into the first topic that we will be discussing, or the first issue that we will be discussing. So when we talk about the timings of prayer, there are three types of time that we are talking about. These three types of time, I don't know if everyone has been introduced to these three types of time or not, but it's important to understand the three types before we move on and describe each one of them. So what are these three types of time that we're talking about when we talk about prayer. The first is the allowed time for each prayer, right? So like, for example, you know, there are times where there is a specific period of time, of course, in which you are allowed to pray your prayer. This is the most basic and the most simple time that we're going to talk about. That's number one, the allowed time to pray. Okay, so that makes sense. Number two is a separate concept, which is called the preferred time to pray, which in Arabic they call it waqtul fadila, right? Like we say fadil, or we say fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Waqtul fadila means the preferred time. And we have multiple ahadith that if you pray in this waqtul fadila, which we will explain what it is for each prayer, then the prayer, the thawab and the reward of your prayer is twice, sometimes, sometimes three times, sometimes greater, because you're praying within this specific time of praying. So that's the second. And the third is what I am, the term I'm going to be using for it, hopefully it's not too confusing, is the specific time of prayer. The specific time of prayer means that during that time you can only pray that prayer and no other prayer. So that obviously comes up when we're talking about Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, because these prayers have a joint period of time in which you can pray them, right? But there are times specifically where you can only pray one of these prayers, okay? And I'll explain where that comes up and how it comes up. So don't get too confused with that. I'll explain exactly when that comes up and where that actually plays a role. Okay. Again, salamu alaikum to all the brothers and sisters who are joining us. Let me just get these comments in right over here so that I could be able to see the comments. Alright, okay, so moving on, let's start with this. What is the allowed time for each prayer? Now, some of these we're already familiar with, so I'm going to move on past them very quickly. Some of them we may not be so familiar with, so I'll take a little bit of a time to explain them a little bit more. So when it comes to Fajr, when is the time that the time for Namaz starts? Let me save you a whole bunch of headache. They have this specific way of explaining it. They say there's this whiteness that comes up at a particular time. It shows up at the horizon. You're not supposed to go for the first one. The first one is called Al-Fajr al-Katib. The second one is called Al-Fajr al-Sadiq. Long story short, right? For this one, just basically rely on your timetables that you have. None of us is going to go out in the middle of the desert or some other place to figure out when this time of Fajr starts exactly. But if you just wanted a definition of it, they say there's this whiteness that shows up on the horizon. Okay, that's when Fajr starts. When does it end? Of course, it ends at sunrise. Pretty clear and pretty simple. We're going to move on from that. Moving on to Dhuhr and Asr. When does Dhuhr start? Dhuhr starts at Zawal. What is Zawal? Zawal means that if you were to stick this, a stick, right, or a piece of wood in the ground, and the sun comes up, and then it starts moving down towards the west throughout the day, right? Starts out from the east, and it's going to end up in the west eventually. They say this shadow of the stick, if you stick it in the ground and you stick it straight, right? The shadow, initially, it will be very long and it'll get shorter, 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 shorter until a point where it will no longer get any shorter. And from that point on, it will start to increase again. That point at which it starts to increase again is when Dhuhr namaz it has started. And that's the time they call Zawal, because technically, the sun is becoming Za'il now. The sun is moving away, right? Za'il means something that moves away. In today's Arabic. So that's Zawal. That's when it starts. When does it end? Ends at sunset. What about Asr Namaz? Same thing. Now, there are some details there. We'll get to those details once we start discussing the other two types of timing that we mentioned for prayer. This is just the first type, which is what is the allowed time for us to pray. Okay. Dhuhr and Asr, we covered. Moving on to Maghrib and Isha. When does Maghrib start exactly? Again, when you refer to Ayatollah Sistani's Tawzi'ul Masail al-Jami', he discusses this, and let me just read right off of it. Basically, what his ruling is that the time for Maghrib namaz starts when something by, and I'm just going to use the terminology, they call it humra mashriqiyya. They say basically when the sun is going down on the west, there is a redness that you will see on the other side. That redness, when that comes and it starts to move away, that's when the time for Maghrib namaz will start. So he actually says, according to Ihtiyat Wajib, you have to wait for that redness to show up and then disappear for you to be able to pray your Maghrib namaz. Trust me, don't try to go and look for this kind of stuff, because I'll tell you, although I haven't tried it myself, but I've heard multiple times from some of our teachers that being actually able to see these things are actually a lot more difficult than you and I assume, right? It's just like in the medical field, right? Like if you look up something on Google, right, you say, okay, what are the symptoms for this like disease, right? And they'll say, oh, you'll have like red spots, and the red spots will look like this, right? Well, that's the theory of it. Then when you actually go and try to self-diagnose, right, which we are all guilty of, I'm not going to believe any of you guys that say you haven't done this before, but you actually take a look at this like red spot that's on your hand, and the description was saying like it has to have like red and white, and then you're like, oh, this doesn't look white, this is like yellow. You're not sure if this is exactly what that whatever it is, WebMD or whatever other website it is, you're not sure if this is exactly what that website was talking about, because of course you're reading about this in theory. When it actually comes to looking it up and finding what that, you know, what is being said, then it's a whole different ball game. So anyways, when it comes to these timings of prayers, these are the same things. I'm just explaining them just so we know a definition of them and we can move on. So Maghrib starts when that humra mashriqiyya, the redness on the east side, that disappears. That's when you can start praying your Maghrib namaz. When does it end? It ends at midnight. What is midnight? We're going to get to that in just a second. How about Isha? Isha also, the timing starts at pretty much that same time. When the redness on the east moves away, and you can pray it until midnight. Okay, so what is midnight? This is actually one of those rulings, if you had tuned in at the beginning, I mentioned that we were going to emphasize a little bit more on the rulings that maybe not all people are familiar with. This is one of those rulings. So pay attention, because this is where Ayatul Sistani and Ayatul Khamenei actually have a slight difference of opinion. Okay, and it actually makes, it can make a difference sometimes. So, both of them do agree that your Maghrib and Isha prayer become qadha at midnight. What is midnight? Midnight is not 12 o'clock. Midnight is halfway between the time of sunset and Fajr namaz. So sometimes it might be before 12 o'clock. Right, I don't know. I think for Dallas, last time I was checking, and we'll go through the example of Dallas just to calculate it together. But last time I checked, I think it was like 11 something. Right, it's not even 12 o'clock. Sometimes it might be 12:30. Right, like maybe a while ago, daylight savings weren't there yet. It might have been like 12:30 or whatever the case may be. Right. So what you do is this: you're going to calculate the hours between sunset all the way till Fajr, whatever hours that is. Let's say it's 7 hours. You're going to split that in half, 3.5 hours. Those 3.5 hours, you are going to add to the beginning of the time of Maghrib. So from Maghrib until 3.5 hours, you have time to pray your Maghrib and your Isha. Maghrib and Isha become Qadha at the same time. Okay. So to give you an example, what time is sunset in Dallas? Let me just, I'll just Google it real quick. I think it's like 5:20, if I'm not mistaken. Dallas sunset. Okay, 5:22. 5:22 is sunset. What time is Fajr? Let's say roughly 6. Let's check the last time just to be exact. Just for the sake of the example that we're trying to give, let's have some clear rulings. Okay, so about 6 o'clock, let's just say 6 o'clock for the sake of the example, right? So we go from sunset was 5:22, all the way to 6 o'clock on the other side. So you have 6 hours after 12 o'clock. And you have 6.5 hours on this side. Put those together, that's 12.5 hours. If you split those in half, that's 6 hours and 15 minutes. Take 6 hours and 15 minutes and you add it to 5:20, or forgive me, 5:40, the time of Maghrib namaz. That's when you are going to have, that's how much time you're going to have to pray Maghrib and Isha. Now, here's the point that a lot of people do not know. And this was a surprise for me learning it when I was studying as well. Brothers and sisters, if you do not pray your Maghrib and Isha by midnight, you still have to pray those namazes, those prayers, before Fajr. One more time. So if I don't pray my Maghrib and Isha all the way till like, let's say midnight for me is 12:30, I don't pray until like 1 o'clock. And it's 1 o'clock. I'm dead, you know, tired. I'm like, I'm going to go to sleep now. Last moment, and this is something that might happen to us sometimes. You're lying down and like, such a good day. I achieved so much. And then you're like, oh, I didn't pray my Maghrib and Isha. And you're like, okay, well, you look at the time, it's already past midnight. I've seen multiple people do this. They say, oh, it's past midnight, so I don't have to pray anymore. You know, it's qada, but you know, I forgot about it. What can I do? I'll just wait tomorrow and I'll pray. No, you have to pray it before Fajr. So if you're going to get up before Fajr, then, you know, sure, pray it when you get up. But if you're not, and I'm pretty sure we're not, and I speak for myself, then you have to pray your Maghrib and Isha before Fajr. Now, the difference between Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei that I was mentioning was this, that if you're going to pray your Maghrib and Isha after midnight and before Fajr, which we said you have to do, Ayatollah Khamenei says, after midnight you are going to pray it with the intention of Ada Qada. Which means you neither make the intention of Ada, neither are you making the intention of praying on time, nor are you making the intention that I'm praying past the time. Why is this weird intention we've never heard of, Ada and Qada at the same time? Or to be technically correct, neither Ada or Qada. What is this intention? Why does this come up? This comes up a little bit from the doubt of whether this time is actually part of the time for Maghrib and Isha or not. So that's a fiqh discussion. We don't have to worry about that too much. I'm just giving you a little bit of background so you understand why Ayatollah Khamenei has this ruling. But when you're going to pray your Maghrib and Isha after midnight, of course, like I said, you're not allowed to do that. But let's say you forgot. If you forgot you're going to pray after midnight, you are going to have the intention of Ada Qada. Okay. For Ayatollah Sistani, he says, no, if you forgot, because you forgot, you still have time to pray it until Fajr time. So he says, for him, he says, you pray with the intention of Ada until Fajr time. Okay? So that's the ruling of one of the rulings that most people, unfortunately, do not pay attention to. All right, let me check just to see if there are any questions here. Yes, okay, no questions so far. If you guys have any questions, feel free to send in the questions and we will go through them, inshallah. Okay, yes, I see one of the questions is coming in from this brother. Just 1 second. Okay. So Fajr namaz would be invalid if Maghrib and Isha salat was not done. No, Fajr namaz would not be invalid. Your namaz would be valid, but you have done something haram, right? It's haram for you to not pray your Maghrib and Isha by the time that you have... Yes, okay, I think my phone has switched me over. So let me just try this real quick. I have no idea why my phone is giving us a hard time right now. Yes. I don't know if it's fixed or not yet. Okay. Yeah. So it seems like this is not gonna, I don't think it's going to rotate properly. So what I'll have to do is, let's try this real quick. Maybe we could just do this session while we're doing it vertically. Okay. All right. Okay. That's what we call improvising. I don't know if it's better or not. You guys can let me know if it's better or not right now. I think it's better. I know we're going vertically now, but the thing is, my phone has. Yeah, okay. Some of the comments are not making sense. So I think my phone is. So the thing is, when the video, when Facebook Live starts, sometimes the phone, if it happens to rotate, you cannot rotate it back unless you disconnect the video or the live feed that's going. And I don't want to do that because we'll have to start a whole new session, and that's going to be a little difficult. Okay, it seems like we're fine again. Okay, I think there were a couple questions in there. In summer, if I pray Fajr on time, which is 4:15 a.m., then it will be very difficult to awake till sunrise as recommended. So is there any rulings about it? Well, if it's difficult, this is Brother Sayyid Hassan. If it's difficult, that's not a problem. You can always, take a nap if that will help. So that's not a problem. That's one of the things that's mustahab. And things that are mustahab are mustahab. It's not necessary to have to definitely stay up during that time. Okay. Okay. So we're going to move on. Let me see if we can move on to the next ruling here. Okay, so these are the allowed times for Maghrib and Isha, and we discussed for all of the prayers actually, and we discussed that you have to pray Maghrib and Isha before midnight. And if you don't, you have to still pray it after midnight before Fajr Adhan. Let's move on to the time that we call the preferred time, or the Fadila time. And we mentioned in the Ahadith, it's mentioned that if you pray your prayer during this time, what happens is that the reward is multiplied. You have much more reward for the same prayer that you were doing. I remember reading this hadith once that it said that if you're going to, the difference between praying a prayer on time and praying it later is like the difference between this world and Qiyamah, which is like a really, really big difference, obviously. So it's definitely encouraged for us to pray. At the beginning of the time. So when these ahadith say, hey, you should pray at the beginning of the time, what they're actually referring to is this preferred time in which you're supposed to pray. So what is this preferred time? Okay, again, in Arabic, they will call that fadila. Let's start from here. What is it for Fajr? For Fajr namaz, the preferred time is for us to pray before the sky starts turning blue, before the sky starts to light up a little bit. Of course, if it's lighting up too much, then I have to tell you, your namaz is batil now because the sun is up. So not when it turns that bright, but when it starts to turn a little bright, which in when we look at it would mean it's looking like light blue, right? So if that's happening, then the time for fadila has finished. So the time for fajr, when it's fadila, when it's preferred for you to pray and it has extra thawab, is as long as it's still dark. Right? Now, how much is that actually going to be when we're praying our namaz? Like in terms of minutes, it's going to be a little difficult to say exactly what that looks like. Maybe 10 minutes, it's going to be more than 10 minutes, but maybe like 20, 30 minutes, something like that. And in every place, it's going to be different as well. So it's going to be a little difficult for us to explain in terms of minutes. Otherwise, trust me, I'm all for explaining it in a simpler way, and I would just give you guys minutes for the fadila times. But like I said, it's going to be very different, even based on the seasons as well. Obviously, that's also going to be different. Okay, so that's for Fajr. Moving on to Dhuhr. When is the Fadila time? When is the preferred time for Dhuhr? Again, things are a little detailed here, so I'll explain it and then I'll add some practical points as well. For Ayatollah Sistan and Ayatollah Khamenei, the ruling is slightly different. For Ayatollah Khamenei, he says as when the shadow of that stick turns into the size of that stick itself. For Ayatollah Sistan, he has a slightly different ruling. But if we wanted to be safe, we could easily say, like within 30 minutes after the prayer, for example, or 30 minutes after the Adhan. Allow me to just adjust the phone real quick. Okay. So we could say maybe like 30 minutes roughly after they say the Adhan. Just again, this is just a very, very rough estimation. If you want to put a stick in the ground and figure out the shadow and all that stuff, you know, be my guest. You can do that. For Ayatollah, again, moving on to Asr Namaz, it's a little bit further than that, right? So the ruling is that once the shadow of that stick goes from being the size of that stick to being twice the size of that stick. So maybe an hour and a half after Dhuhr Adhan, something like that, roughly. Again, these are very rough that I'm giving you guys. Why? Because it's going to be different in every place and in every situation. So that's for Dhuhr and for Asr. For Maghrib, they say when the redness on the west moves away. Again, looking at that and finding that is going to be a little difficult. But you could say like 10-15 minutes after Maghrib Adhan, you would have time. At the very least, probably more, but at the very least, you would have preferred time, fadila time. For Isha is the easiest one. They say for Isha Namaz, the time for fadila, it ends at 1/3 of the night. So if you're wondering what is 1/3 of the night, the same way we just covered that you have to pray Maghrib and Isha at midnight, and we said midnight is halfway through the night, the preferred time for Isha is 1/3 of the night, right? So if the time, like for example for Dallas, we just calculated, we said 6 hours and 15 minutes of time that you would have between Maghrib all the way till Fajr, right, roughly, that's half. If you wanted to take that and make it 1/3, it'd be like 4 hours roughly. So 4 hours after Maghrib is going to be the time that you have to pray so that you could pray Isha in its fadila time, in the time where it is actually preferred for you to pray during that time. Okay, so these are the preferred times. Moving on to the third type of time, there is a specific time. What is a specific time? They call it waqt-e khas. I'm not going to overcomplicate things. It's very simple. When it comes to Dhuhr and Asr, and Maghrib and Isha, okay, there is a time in which you are only allowed to pray Asr, and a time where you are only allowed to pray Isha. Okay? When is that time? You see, let's say, for example, you forgot to pray your Dhuhr and Asr. You look at the clock. The sunset is like 5 o'clock. What time is it right now? 4:58. Okay. In 4:58, you have 2 minutes to pray. In these 2 minutes, of course, you will not be able to fit in Dhuhr and Asr unless you're breaking some records or you're doing something, you know, some magic or something that I don't know about, okay? But for the sake of the example, let's just say you cannot put Dhuhr and Asr both in those 2 minutes, okay? So what are you going to do? They say, hey, this last period of time is the time, basically the time that you can only pray Asr. Okay, that's so if I haven't prayed my Dhuhr and Asr at that time, I should only pray my Asr Namaz. Because those last 2 or 3 minutes is the specific time of praying Asr. Same thing applies to Maghrib and Isha. Let's say you have 2 minutes before midnight, right? Whatever midnight you've calculated, and you have those 2 minutes left. When you hit those 2 minutes and you're like, oh, I didn't pray my Maghrib and Isha for whatever reason, maybe you forgot, you're only supposed to pray what? You're only supposed to pray your Isha. If you pray your Maghrib during that time, neither your Maghrib is correct, nor have you prayed your Isha. So that's the specific time. This also comes up at the beginning of when the time for a prayer starts. But I don't want to go through that because we technically never really deal with that. That's more fiqhi stuff. I don't want to go through all that stuff because we want to be as practical as we can with these rulings. So these are the three types of timing that we have for each prayer. Let me go through some rulings. Let me just check in case we had any questions. Okay, no, we're good. Send in your questions. If you guys have questions, we'll take it as we move along. The first ruling that I want to mention about the timings of prayer is this. as long as you can fit in one rakat of your prayer in the time that's allowed for that prayer, your prayer is going to be considered ada. So one more time. As long as you can fit in one rakat of your prayer is going to be ada. So that means if I have 1 minute left until sunrise, right? And in that 1 minute, let's just say I can only fit in one rakat of my prayer. I have to pray with the intention of ada, not the intention of qada, the intention of ada. Yes, if I cannot even get to one rakat, there's 30 seconds left, then my prayer is going to be qada altogether. So it really doesn't matter if I start or if, I think you still have to start, even if you can just get part of it in there, but you will have to pray with the intention of qada, right? With the intention of qada. So that's the first question. The first ruling that I wanted to go through. I see a question has come in. Let me just read this ruling from Ayatollah Sistani's Minhaj al-Salihin, and then we'll move on. This is ruling 897 for those of you who have Tawziyul Masail al-Jami'. It's in Farsi. کسی که به اندازه خواندن یک رکعت نماز وقت دارد باید نماز را به نیت اداء بخواند ولی نباید عمدن نماز را تا این وقت تأخیر بیاندازد. So it's saying, if you only have 1 minute to pray, you're going to, or you only have time to fit in one rakat, you're going to pray with the intention of ada. It is, of course, and I think this is understood, it is haram for you to delay your prayer all the way till that time, of course. If that happens, and you're going to pray, if you have time for one rakat, that is you're going to pray with the intention of ada. Okay. So Brother Asad is asking a question. He says, Salam, what is the ruling? Wa alaikum salam. What is the ruling sometimes mentioned about midnight being 45 minutes earlier for some jurists? I honestly don't know. All I know is that for Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei, they have the same ruling in this regard, which is half of the time between sunset and Fajr. Not between Maghrib and Fajr, but sunset and Fajr. Okay, so that's as far as I know. I honestly don't know of any other rulings that would be there in that regard. Okay, so I'm going to cover one more of the rulings, and then I'll come back to check again to see if we have any questions. Second ruling that I want to cover is this: if there is no time, and you're really really running late, like the example that I gave, you need to cut out the mustahabbat of the prayer. This is wajib. You have to do it, right? So let's say, again, going back to that example, I have 1 minute left. In that 1 minute, obviously, I can fit in one rakat, so I'm going to pray with the intention of ada. But I still have to try my best to fit in as much of my prayer into the allowed time. So that means I have to actually cut out the mustahab stuff. I have to. It's wajib, okay? And many of you are like, Sheikh, why are you discussing this stuff? I never pray that late. Please discuss the rulings where it has to do with... Okay, fine. But there are times where you might wake up. Let's say you wake up for Fajr. It's really late, right? Or sometimes you might even forget. And when you forget, then you remember. Then you'll say, oh, there's so little time left. So you have to cut out the mustahab stuff. What is the mustahab stuff? Qunut is one of them. Out of the three tasbihat, one of them is only wajib. Not all three of them is wajib. Some of the adhkar that we say in tashahud, right? Like in the last tashahud, Allah of us might say, Bismillah wa billah alhamdulillah. That's also mustahab. In the second rakah, we say, after we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, wa taqabbal shafa'atahu, right? These are all mustahabbat that we have. Even in terms of the salams, there are some of them that are mustahabs. Inshallah, when we get to the prayer, the topic of prayer itself, we'll discuss more about which parts are actually mustahab. Because, you know, in Sunday school and, you know, the way we're taught with our parents is that this is namaz, right? But a lot of times there are mustahab things, they're not actually wajib. So you have to cut those out. It's wajib for you to do that when you are praying quickly. I do want to make this point just very quickly before we move on. Okay, let me go through the questions. So, Brother Hussein says, Salaamu Alaikum wa Alaikum Assalam. Can you pray Dhuhr and Asr together, or do you need to wait a few minutes in between them? No, you can pray them together. That's not a problem. Their preferred time is slightly, according to the rulings of some of the Marajah, they're slightly separate from one another. But if there's Jama'at and you guys praying them together, just pray them together. Praying with Jama'at is much better. And even if you're praying Furada, go ahead and pray them right after one another. All right? Because their allowed time is mutual. So that's not a problem. You do not have to put a couple minutes in between them. At the very least, I know that's not wajib. That's what I know for sure. Sister Ruhi is asking, should qada of specific missed salah be mentioned in niyyah or just the niyyah of qada rakats? So niyyat in general, as a general rule, niyyat is something that you just have in your mind. You don't have to mention it anywhere. Niyyat basically means you know what you're doing, which you do. Unless, like, you know, it's a really odd, it would be a really odd situation for us if someone was praying and you ask them, it's like, what are you doing? And they'd be like, I have no idea. Or like they're praying Asr and they'd be like, yeah, I'm praying Dhuhr actually, right? So, I mean, it's very rare for something like that to happen. So, as long as you know what you're doing, that is niyat. That's it. If you're going to pray a qada prayer, you have to know if this is a qada prayer of Dhuhr I'm praying or a qada prayer of Asr. Do you have to mention it in the wording? No, there's no need to mention that in the wording. Another question is, this is from Brother Hussein Al-Muhtaram. In a two-person jama'at, does the follower have to be on the right of the imam or can they be on the left as well? No, they can be on either side. It's mustahab for them to be on the right. They should be on the right of the imam. That's mustahab. And so it's good. Number two, must Surah Ikhlas be recited in every salat at least once? I'm not sure what they mean by every salat. If you could clarify, Brother Hussein. But in mustahab prayers, no, you don't have to recite Surah, Surah Ikhlas. You can skip over that. And that's as far as I can understand what is meant by the question. You do have to recite a surah after Suratul Fatiha in wajib prayers. But whether or not that has to be Surah Ikhlas, that's not the case. It could be any surah. I'm not sure if I'm correctly understanding the question. Sayyid Ijlal says, could you speak about, in general terms, what are the rules are if you are late to join the Jama'at Salat and not then... You will be able to tell what rakat that is. So if they're praying out loud, which is normally the case, then you'll see. If not, worst case scenario, you can wait for them to go to ruku, join them in ruku, and then slowly you can figure out which rakat they're actually in for the next rakats. Because you'll see if, like for example, he does tashahud or what does he do. Not knowing which rakat it is does not mean you cannot join. You can join, right? But to be on the safe side, go to ruku, and then when you go to ruku, then you can, or join when they have went to ruku, and then you can figure out. In one of the two rakats in wajib prayers, jazakum. Okay, so hopefully we answered Brother Hussein's question. Okay, moving on with the rulings that we have. So like we said, if you're running late, then you do have to cut the prayer for your namaz, the mustahabbat of your prayer. And I want to make a very quick point here. Now, a lot of people have this doubt, this idea that namaz is supposed to be like a very mindful experience and it's supposed to be a relaxing experience. Or sometimes people might make comments like this, like, okay, what kind of namaz is this if I'm praying it in like 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes or whatever the case may be, right? Like a minute, like let's say Fajr namaz, right? Worst case scenario, someone can really pray it in a minute, right? This is not how namaz should be prayed. This is not the correct way of... So I just want to make this point real quick that, brothers and sisters, namaz is supposed to be prayed the way God says it's supposed to be prayed, okay? So if He says we have to pray in a minute because you were getting up late or I was getting up late or whatever the case may be, right? In that specific scenario, which doesn't happen all the time, but specific, then you have to get up quickly and you have to pray. Spirituality comes from obeying what God tells us to do, not from how we're feeling in that moment necessarily, right? If I wake up, there's 2 minutes left before Fajr, I can't say, oh no, this is not going to be a spiritual experience for me. Allow me to go and rest and in the proper time. No, this 2 minutes, you know, we should have slept earlier, but we didn't for whatever reason. Now it's late. You have to get up and you have to pray. And sometimes that means rushing through the whole thing. Well, then you have to rush through the whole thing. And of course, we're not saying we shouldn't end up in that situation pretty often. If we are, then that means that we're doing something wrong, right? But in those occasions that we do, have to take care of that quickly. Okay. I see the Dr. Brother Akbar is asking, if we are not sure that one rakat was done within 1 minute or not, what happens? Very good question. If you're not sure if the time of namaz passed before you finished your one rakat, you're still good. And you're still going to pray Ada. As a general rule, you are only, like, you are going to, it is going to be, so let me put it this way. As a general rule, the time of namaz has not ended until you are sure it has ended. So as long as you have a doubt, you will still consider that as part of the time of namaz. So let's say, I'm not sure if the time of, let's say sunset is 5 o'clock, right? I'm 4:59. I'm not sure. Did the time of Adhan go end right now or not? As long as I have a doubt, I will still consider it the time of namaz, and therefore I will have to go and have to pray. That's going to be the result of that. Next ruling, I'll share this ruling and then I'll get to Brother Ali's question in just a second. This one is also a very important one. That as long as you are not sure that the time of prayer has actually come, you cannot start your prayer. Okay, seems like a pretty obvious thing, but I've seen this multiple times. Brothers and sisters will have timetables on their phone. They will say, oh, it's Adhan based on my timetable. The other person will say, oh no, it's not a time Adhan based on my timetable. And then they're like, okay, but this one I think would be a better timetable, so let's just go ahead and pray. No, if you're not sure the time of prayer has come yet, you're not allowed to pray. You have to make sure the time of prayer has come. So if you have two timetables, let's say two organizations, two different institutes, they give you two different timetables, right? And they're off. Sometimes they might be off by like 5 or 10 minutes with Fajr, for example. I think that happens quite often, actually. If you're not sure about the time of Adhan, then you have to take the later one, right? You have to wait, make sure the time of Adhan comes first, and then you are going to pray your namaz. If you start before that, that's not going to be allowed. Okay, we covered that as well. Okay, let me go through Brother Ali's question. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Salaam alaikum, Brother Ali. Very nice to see you in Houston just a couple days ago. I think the question about Surah Ikhlas refers to reciting once within a day's prayer or ruling regarding that. Hassana Bashit. Okay, that confused me, Agha Ali, just a little bit more actually. I think the question about Surah Ikhlas refers to reciting once within a day's prayer. I'm still not clear on what that is. But Brother Hussein did, I think we answered his question from the comment that he had posted. If not, Brother Hussein, you can always send a question into Mizan Institute's inbox and we'll get to that. Brother Hassan is asking, Salaamu Alaikum Shaykh, Wa Alaikum Assalam. With regards to concentration in Salat, what should one do if they forget the rakat number they're in? Okay, very good question. This is something we'll discuss later. But as a short answer, a lot of people I've seen, they are really confused by the rulings when it comes to this. And there's one ruling that if you know this one ruling, oh, it will make life so much easier. Okay? And that ruling is this. Whenever you have a doubt, and this is Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, anytime you have a doubt in prayer and you don't know which rakat you're in, before going to all of those detailed rulings, I don't know if you guys have heard of the rulings, and they are quite detailed. If you have a doubt between 2 and 4, if you have a doubt between 3 and 5, and this, all these different rulings, right? And yes, there is possible you might have a doubt between 3 and 5, even though you're praying a 4 rakat, right? But the first ruling that you have to pay attention to is this. Anytime you have a doubt about rakats of namaz, if there is a higher probability on one side, you have to take that as the ruling, as the rak'at that you are on. And 95% of the time, that answers the question, right? So that solves the situation. Because a lot of times when we're praying and like I have a doubt, usually I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's fourth rakat. I'm pretty sure it's third rakat. If you are pretty sure, or even if you have a greater possibility on one side, you're going to take that side as the rakat that you are on. So if I'm praying and I have a doubt, I'm not sure, is this second rakat or third rakat? You're going to take the third rakat, right? If you feel like, hey, this is probably the third rakat. If I have a doubt between one and two and I'm like, this is probably two, then you're going to go ahead with two. Whichever rakat you have, there's a greater chance of it being the rakat that you are on. You should go with that rakat. And for me, when I learned this ruling, it solved 98% of the situations that I'm dealing with. So, and if you're having a doubt between one and two, usually it's one. Trust me, you haven't prayed that much yet, usually. Anyways, so hopefully that answers your question, Brother Hassan. Sister Safinaz is asking if the Salat is about to be qada and there's less than a minute remaining, can we leave the short surah in that one rakat? To be honest with you, this is what I had heard before. Maybe Sheikh Amin can chime in case he's watching as well, just to confirm that. I can't confirm that right now. I honestly don't remember exactly, to be honest. I do remember hearing that, but I'm not 100% sure. So inshallah, next week when we do go through this, I will definitely touch on that. Okay, Brother Ali, sorry for the added confusion. Is there a ruling that Surah Ikhlas must be recited at least once within first, second rakat of wajib prayers of one day? Oh, okay, that makes sense. No, we don't have such a ruling. You can pray any namaz, any surah, in any in the five prayers that you have, you can choose any surahs. It doesn't have to be Surah Ikhlas after Surah Fatiha. Okay, Surah Ikhlas, sorry. And Dr. Akbar is asking, does doubt in second rakat salat invalidate the salat? Oh, so that's a very good question that Dr. Akbar brought up. This is again another sometimes confusion people have. This ruling that I mentioned trumps everything, right? Like it overrides every other ruling that we have when it comes to doubts with. So normally, if you have a doubt in a two rakat prayer, you're not sure, like in your Fajr, you're having a doubt between one and two, normally they would say your namaz is batil. But the point that most people don't know is that that is if the doubt is completely 50-50, which like almost never happens, right? Like if you're really praying Fajr and it's really, really 50-50, then it really, really rarely happens. It really doesn't happen. Usually you're like, I'm pretty sure it's this or I'm pretty sure. So if it is any namaz, any type of namaz, and your doubts are between any rakats, doesn't matter. If there is a greater chance on one side, you're supposed to take that as the rakat that you are in. You guys can thank me later for making your life easier with that one ruling, because that one ruling actually made my life a lot easier. Just kidding. It made my life a lot easier when I was, learning the rulings. Okay. Let me. We have just about 5 minutes left. Let me just go through one more ruling and then we will end, inshallah. I think next week we'll also do continue with this topic. The praying while you're in the plane. This is something, of course, that we deal with quite a bit now. Why? Because in America or in North America, you are flying to a lot of places now. A lot of other places may not be that case. In Europe, maybe you're driving around. That's a different situation. But anyways, you might be flying around quite a bit. When you're flying around, of course, the time of prayer comes. Question that comes up is, how am I supposed to pray my prayer while I am in the plane and the time of prayer comes? Now, there is a question that comes up about, can I pray in the plane because the plane is moving? That is something we will discuss later. And just to give you a short, brief summary, yes, if you can pray with all the proper conditions, then yes, you can pray in the plane. But I'll discuss that later. We'll get to that when we talk about the place of prayer. That's the second condition, or maybe not the second condition, but one of the other conditions of prayer. What we're asking right now is, what are you supposed to do when you're in the plane and the time for Dhuhr and Asr namaz is coming sometimes faster? Like, for example, if you're flying from the west towards the east, that means you are going against the movement of the sun. Or, forgive me, the sun doesn't move, but the movement of the earth, right? So you're moving that way, you're going against it. That means that time is going to speed up now, right? So what are you supposed to do? Or if you're flying from the east to the west, normally your Dhuhr prayer might have had like 5 hours to pray, 6 hours to pray it. Now it's becoming, let's say, for example, 7 or 8 hours, right? So what are you supposed to do? The answer is very simple. You are supposed to pray based on the timings in the places where you are when you're flying in the plane. So that means that if you're flying from the west towards the east, right? You're flying against the movement of the earth. That means you are going to, time is going to speed up. When I say time, of course, I mean the timings of prayer. Otherwise, time itself is not going to speed up. But the timings of prayer are going to speed up. Then that means you're going to have to pray more frequently. The time for Fajr is not going to be an hour and a half now or an hour, right? It's going to be like 20 minutes, right? The time for Dhuhr is not going to be 5 hours. It's going to be like 2 hours. In those 2 hours, you have to pray your prayer. So for those of us who have this experience, of course, flying like from North America to Asia or Middle East or wherever we are from, if you're flying from North America to that part of the world, you might pray like four prayers in the span of like 24 hours, right? Or forgive me, maybe more than that even. Basically, you'll pray faster than you would normally pray. And if you're flying the other way around, let's say like 10 hours might pass by and you only pray one prayer, for example, right? So it all depends on where you are in the plane. If you're going in a direction where time is speeding up, then you also have to pray the prayers on a more frequent fashion. If it's slowing down, then you will pray less frequently, right? I think on the way from Iran to here, we might pray just once, I think, because a lot of the flights leave after namaz time in Dubai. They fly, so you pray Fajr in Dubai, or Qatar, or whatever airline you're flying, right? And then from there all the way to here, a lot of times you get here like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which means that you only have to pray Dhuhr, if that, because a lot of times you might make it to pray Dhuhr outside of the plane as well. So that's the ruling when it comes to praying while we are in the plane. Okay, so I'll go through the question that Sister Sarah has asked us, and then an announcement that has been mentioned as well. Salam alaikum. I know it is allowed to combine Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. However, is it more recommended to pray them separate, or does it not matter? From what I remember, it is recommended. It depends. If you're praying Jamaat, you can just pray them together, and that's better to do. If you're praying independently, Furada basically, by yourself, then yes, it's actually recommended to give it a little bit of a separation between them. But as long as you're praying both of them in the fadilah time, in the preferred time, which we discussed in the beginning of the session, then that's the best way of doing things. Like when it comes to Maghrib and Isha, and yeah, we're done with our time, so I'm going to mention this and inshallah we'll end. When it comes to Maghrib and Isha, there is actually a slight difference between the preferred time when it starts. So Maghrib starts the preferred time for it. And then although you can pray Isha immediately afterwards, Maghrib, but it's better to give it just a couple minutes, which naturally happens in our Jamaat anyways. So yeah, that's the answer to that question. Last point that I will make, inshallah, it has to do with the session. Sheikh Amin will have, inshallah, a Mizan live session that will not be on Ahkam. It will be on the Imamiyya doctrine, theological discussions, inshallah. And that will be on Wednesdays every week. And inshallah, I'll be bothering you guys, taking your time in discussing the rulings of Salat. Again, like I said, some of the less known rulings of Salat on Tuesdays. Thank you very much. If anyone has any more questions, you can always inbox Mizan Institute with your question. Thank you very much. Take care. Keep us in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.